Now, tonight we come to one of the great parts of this doctrinal study, in my view. And before we tackle it, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we want to bow in thy presence tonight and thank you for these great doctrines of the faith. Thank you for the doctrine of salvation and the doctrine of the security of our salvation. We realize, Lord, that we're not secure because of us, but we are secure because of you. And we thank you for that. We pray that we would come to understand this precious doctrine. And because we understand it, we would never want to do anything that would break our fellowship with thee. We pray that you would just drive that home in our hearts and minds and souls tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now, there is an English word that we use that has an emphatic meaning that means not at any time, not on any occasion. And the English word that we use is the word never. When we want to say we mean never is something going to happen, it won't happen at any time, it's not going to happen on any occasion, we use that word never. For example, if we say he will never be paroled, what we mean by that is there's no chance at any point in time that that person's ever going to get out of prison. If we say he will never pass the course, what we mean by that is there is no point in time when he can possibly, from this point on, earn a passing grade. Years ago, I had a student that was skipping classes, and he was losing points every time he skipped a class, just clearly in the syllabus. So it was the ground rules by which we played. And ultimately, I reached a point, I said, you never can pass this course. You've reached a point where you never are going to get a passing grade. So you may as well just quit coming because you aren't going to earn what you could earn. If we say he never saw it coming, we mean at no time did he suspect that what was about to happen would happen. So this word never is the strongest possible form of negation that we can use in the English language. Now, we say sometimes loosely that we believe in verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. And what we mean by that is we believe that the Bible is inspired right to the very words, the words that are written. We mean that the Bible is all equally inspired, plenary inspiration. That's what we believe, and that's what we mean by those terms. So when you read a word never that shows up in the Bible, we would have to say that we are concluding, based on the fact that God inspired that word, that God wants to communicate a point that something cannot ever possibly happen. And he would use the word never to say that. Now, in Greek language, there are primarily two different words that may be translated never or no. And we kind of covered this a couple of Sunday nights ago, but we're going to redo it again tonight because you're going to certainly see this come to life in this study. The first word is ou or ouk, which is used to deny the reality of an alleged fact. And the second word is may, which is used to deny something indefinite. Now, here's the way this works. I used the illustration a couple Sunday nights ago, but I'm going to do it again. It's an illustration that comes from Dr. A.T. Robertson, who is a tremendous Greek grammarian, and he gives a great illustration as to how this works. We use the illustration of if a young man asks a girl to marry him, and the girl wants to say no, not at the present time, she would use the word ou or ouk. If the girl would say no, but if you coax me more, I might change my mind, she would use the negative may. But if the girl used in composition both of those words together, ou may, what she would mean by that is there is no chance of me ever changing my mind. I am never going to marry you. So that would be the strongest way you could negate something by putting those two negatives together, ou may. That would mean you never are going to do this. She would never change her mind. There's no chance of that ever happening. So when those two negatives are combined, the prohibition or the negation is at the highest emphatic possible level that you can express in language. Dana and Manny say this doubling of negatives. We can now say unreservedly that the negatives were doubled for the purpose of stating denials or prohibitions emphatically. In other words, what I'm saying is, in Greek, if you want to emphatically stress that something can never happen, if you want to emphatically express that it is impossible for something to happen, you would use this double negative. You would put it together, ume, and that would mean this can never possibly take place. And that's the strongest way you can ever write this when it comes to the Greek language. So when you combine these two words, you make something impossible. Never. You make something impossible. Now, the combination of these two words occurs in the New Testament some 94 times. 94 times. And I've tracked down every one of them. There's a concordance that I own. It's called Moulton Gedon Greek Concordance. And I have gone through every single passage that uses this in composition and in combination. And regardless of how the English translators translate the word, when you have this ume put together, you are putting this at the most emphatic denial and negation of reality that is possibly in existence. So when you combine these two words, you are basically combining those two words because you want to stress the fact that something is never going to happen. Something cannot possibly happen. Now, the reason why I've laid this is because when it comes to this doctrine of eternal security, there are passages of Scripture that use these very words, these negations, and they're using it to make a powerful point. And when you see these words used in the context of which they're used, you have to walk away and say, man, that text says, once I'm saved, I can never lose that. That's what that actually grammatically says. By virtue of the fact that you're using this double combination of negatives, you're stressing that very point. So if you're going to hold to another doctrine that says you think you can lose your salvation, you have to actually hold to something that the text will not grammatically support. So what I want to do tonight is take you through some passages that deal with this subject of believing on the Lord and being saved and the possibility of never losing it. The first one I want to take you to, we're going to go to several of them in the Gospel of John tonight. And the first one I want to take you to is John 4:14. John 4:14. Now here's what we read in John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now the statement, and by the way, this is a statement that's being made by Jesus Christ himself, and he's the one choosing the words. I didn't do this. He's the one who picked the words that he's using here. And the statement that Jesus Christ is making here is whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never, ume. He chooses to take those two little negations and put them together right there. He's the one who chooses to do that. He says, the one who drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a well of water that springs up to eternal life. Now, if we just analyze what Jesus Christ says there, there are three things that we certainly can observe. First of all, the verb drink is aorist. So when Christ says, whoever drinks of the water, he's basically saying, whoever turns to me one time. You drink one time by faith. If you drink by faith from me. Secondly, the word never means there's never any possibility of one who drinks ever thirsting for life again. That's the idea here. You're thirsting for life. You want eternal life. And the whole context of it is if you take one drink by faith from Jesus Christ, there is no possibility that you could ever thirst for eternal life again. And the purpose of one who drinks once is that this person has eternal life. That one verse right there. That one verse right there promotes the doctrine of eternal security. It clearly establishes the impossibility for one to lose salvation once one has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The point of the verse is if you take Christ by faith to be your Savior one time, you can never, ever again thirst for eternal life. You have it. You never again will thirst for it. You have it by believing on him one time. Which brings us to the next text I want to take you to, John 6:35-37. Here's what we read in John 6:35-37. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Now the statement is, and in fact there are three ume statements here that don't necessarily show up in English, but I'm going to point them out to you. There are three ume statements, three times here where Christ uses these double negatives. The first one is, if you come to me, you will never hunger. It's an ume. Right there is ume. You'll never hunger. You don't see that necessarily in English, but it's right there in Greek. Secondly, if you come to me and believe in me, you'll never thirst. There's the ume again. And I'm sure why those English translators translated it is because just for repetition, but I wish they would have left it exactly the way it grammatically reads. And thirdly, in verse 37, the one who comes to me, I'll never cast them out. So what you have stated here grammatically, through the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, are three impossibilities. Three impossibilities. Number one, it is impossible for one who believes on Christ to ever hunger for life again. Number two, it is impossible for one who believes on Christ to ever thirst for life again. Number three, it is impossible for one who's been brought to the Son by the Father to ever be cast out. It can never happen. The ume combination makes the point. It can't ever happen. It's an impossibility. So the clear point is, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are completely secure because those things are no longer a possibility. You never have to worry about being cast out from believing on Christ. You can't do it. It'll never happen. You never have to worry about thirsting or hungering for eternal life again because you have it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. William Van Doren, an esteemed Bible expositor and grammarian of the 1800s, said of this negation, Greek words express double exclusion, which means for no reason or account. In other words, once you believe in Jesus Christ, there is no possibility for any reason that you can be cast out. It cannot ever happen. It will never happen. I don't believe that that has a negative effect on God's people. You know, I think this doctrine strengthens God's people. Fact of the matter is, I'll tell you what I think. I know this doctrine, what it does. This doctrine makes you want to have fellowship with God, and you never want to break fellowship with God. The issue of eternal security is not the issue. You've already got that the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the more you explore these doctrines, especially a doctrine like eternal security, you don't want to do things that would put a breach in your relationship and your fellowship with the Lord. You want to walk close with God. You want to have a life that's open and honest with the Lord. You don't want to be walking through life dirty or scuffed up, because you want it clean in your relationship with God. That's what these doctrines do. These doctrines have a purifying effect on you. Now, we must always remember what Christ did to guarantee this promise of never. Don't lose sight of this. Keep in mind what he did. He came, he died, he arose, which is concrete proof that once we believe on him, we can never hunger again, we can never thirst for life again, we can never be cast out of our relationship with him. Our eternal security is not based on our faithfulness. Our eternal security is based on the finished work of Christ. It's totally and completely his word that makes the ume promises possible, or better yet, makes our forfeiting these things impossible. Now there's a third text I want to take you to in John. It's John 10:28. John 10:28. And I want to, again, emphasize this point. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Of course, we're reading them in English. But when he originally spoke these words and they were written down, they were written in Greek. And he's the one who chose the double negative. We didn't choose that. He chose that. Why? You have to say, well, why would he choose that? Because he wants to stress that this cannot ever, never happen. That's what he wants to stress. Now notice what he says in John 10 and verse 28. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. In this verse, the statement of Jesus Christ is the one to whom he gives life will never ume perish. No possibility of it ever happening, of a person perishing. Dr. S. Lewis Johnson, former professor of theology at Dallas Seminary, writes concerning this verse, first, take a careful look at the term. He says, eternal life. Jesus did not say, I give unto them 6 months life, or 5 years life, nor eternal life until one sins. He gives life that's eternal. If it can be lost, it is not eternal life that believers receive. And second, in order to emphasize the point, our Lord adds, and they shall never perish. The construction in the original text is the strongest way that one can express emphatic negation. In fact, it would not be wrong to render the clause, and they shall by no means ever perish. Spurgeon has a telling word here. See then, Christian, you may be deprived of 1,000 things without any violation of the promise. The promise is not that the ship shall not go to the bottom, but that the passengers shall get to the shore. The promise is not that the house shall not be burned, but the pledge is that you who are in the house shall escape. They never perish. So in this one verse of Scripture, John 10:28, Christ clearly says that when he gives eternal life to someone, they can never perish. There's no possibility of them ever perishing. In Christ's mind, the concept of eternal life is equated with the concept of never perishing. Thus, once one has eternal life, that person is eternally secure. A person cannot potentially perish and have everlasting life. So you have to negate that. And that's what Jesus says here. If you have believed on me, I've given you this life, you are never going to perish. Willard Aldrich said the Greek negative employed in this passage is a combination of two negatives, u and me, thus forming the strongest possible statement, they shall never perish. This leaves no room for the supposition that one having eternal life could give it back. So for the one who's saved, there's never any possibility of you getting out of the saved state. You are in that condition forever. Now, certainly, can you get out of fellowship with God? Yes, that's the possibility. But you can't get out of your saved condition because you will never perish because of the marvelous promise of God. Now, I want to take you to another text in John 11:26. John 11:26. We read in John 11:26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Here's a good question for you to answer tonight. Do you believe that? You believe everybody who believes in him will never perish? I mean, that's actually a question of eternal security. Do you believe that if you believe totally and only in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you cast all of your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that guarantees you'll never perish. You'll never go to hell. You never have to worry about hell. That's what he's saying here. And he uses that word negative. The promise is one who believes in him shall never die. And the point of eternal security is further strengthened if we realize that he's saying that in the context of the death of Lazarus. Verse 14, so Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And he's saying this to Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters. Verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And although in this context, Christ is going to ultimately raise Lazarus up to show that he does have the power to give life, he comes back with a statement, anybody who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that, is what he says. Do you believe that? It comes right down to that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Savior hanging on that cross did enough to save you from all of your sins forever? That's what it comes down to. And if the answer to the question is yes, I believe that, then you are saved. You are forever saved. There's not a thing you can do to get out from that status. You have everlasting life. You can never lose it. You cannot ever lose it. And that's what God wants his people to know. He doesn't want them wandering around wondering if they're his child one day and not his child the next. He wants them understanding you are a child of God. From the moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the possibility of you ever perishing is not a possibility. And the Apostle Paul made it clear that no one lives for himself or dies for himself. In other words, both life and death are ordained by God, and the destiny of one's eternity is in the hands of God. And the one and the only issue that determines whether one physically dies and has life or whether one physically dies and has condemnation is the issue of believing on Jesus Christ. That's what it comes down to. It's not an issue of works. It's an issue of believing on Jesus Christ. One who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will never die, will never perish. That's the point of Christ that he's making in John 11:26. And I just love what he says. Do you believe that? His question to Martha is one that needs to be asked by everyone. Do you believe that? In this case, the physical proof that he has the ability to save you forever is demonstrated by the fact that he called Lazarus out of that tomb. He shows that he can give him life. And he shows that he can give us eternal life. And that was the whole point of that miracle. To show that I'm the one who can give you life. If you place your faith in me, you never have to worry about perishing. When Christ gives eternal life to a person, he shall never die. You know, there's a dangerous heresy now that's being propagated in some churches that basically say there's no such thing as the real threat of hell. And it's being propagated by a guy in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's gone off the deep end in this stuff, and he's promoting almost a purgatory type of view that says when you die, you don't really have to worry about going to hell because you'll get out of there ultimately and you'll be saved. I want to tell you, the Bible doesn't teach that for one second. The Bible teaches the moment you die, you're one of two places, and you don't get out of there. You're in one of two places. You are either instantly in the presence of the Lord because you believed on Him, or you are instantly in a place of torment and torture that's described by Dr. Luke in Luke chapter 16. You're in one of those two places. If you go to the place that's called Hades, it's that hellish type of place where people are presently burning until they will get to the great white throne judgment. They'll face Christ one time and then they'll be cast into the eternal lake of fire. But there is a real eternity that's at stake here. And that is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about that in John 11, and he said, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. He's talking about eternal death here. So if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about the threat of eternal condemnation. When Christ gives life to someone, you are forever saved. That is eternal security. Now we'll take you to a text that Paul writes in another passage, Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. And it's another ume passage. And here's a remarkable text concerning salvation. We read in Romans 4:8, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never take into account. Now, that's the interpretation of the ume combination. I'm throwing it in there. The English translation reads, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. But you'd be better off saying, will not ever take into account. Blessed is that person. Blessed is the man who never the Lord will calculate sin against them. And that is exactly the way I translate this. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So the man or woman who stands in a place where God would never take into consideration or take into account their sin is in a blessed condition. That is the point of the verse. Naturally, we would have to say, well, now, how do you get into that condition? How do you get in that status? How do you get in the status where you would be in a situation where God would never calculate condemnatory sin against you, and so you would be in such a blessed state? Well, if you look carefully at the context, you get the answer. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 4. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. The context of Romans 4 uses these legal terms. Take into account, calculate, reckon, take into account, imputation. All those words are used here in this context. Those are judicial terms. And what Paul is basically saying here is that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from any works at all, you are in a blessed state because by believing on Jesus Christ, God has judicially calculated you as righteous, and he will never hold condemnatory sin against you again. Your condemnatory sin is gone because of a judicial calculation of God. You didn't get that by works. In fact, if you didn't do any work at all, but you believed in Jesus Christ, then that faith would be counted as righteousness, and you would have this righteousness imputed to you. So what Paul is basically saying here is that when a person believes in Jesus Christ by faith, apart from any works whatsoever, then his sins are gone, his lawless deeds are forgiven, and he never has to worry about the condemnatory wrath of God. The ume use of the negatives here is very, very powerful, because Paul is saying it is possible to get into a state with God, so God will not ever, never take into account your lawless deeds or sins. How do you get in that judicial status? By faith, by believing in Jesus Christ. We can't get in that status ourselves because we're all sinners. But His righteousness can be imputed to us. His righteousness can be judicially given to us by God. And God says, I'll give it to you when you believe in my Son. I will impute to you this righteousness, and then you will never have to worry about condemnatory sin. So what you have here in very plain, inspired language is that God is telling us that once you come into a relationship with my Son, it is impossible for you to lose that sonship or daughtership ever again. You are forever my child. Now, some children are not going to end up looking like a whole lot, and they're not going to amount to much because they're not going to yield their lives to the Lord and to the Word of God. But they are still His child. And this doctrine of eternal security is supported not because we want to believe it, but by the grammar that's used, by the syntax, by the choice of these double negatives. That proves the point. Now, our time is gone. Any questions or comments about what we've had said here tonight?